Hi all, this isn't real formal. It's basically any questions you have and what information you'd like to know. Did once upon a time sit in your seats and didn't know a whole lot about the JAG Corps, had heard a little bit, and then with Dean of Admissions helped try to figure out Air Force, Navy, Army, which was the branch I wanted to do, or was it a law firm, or be a prosecutor, and try to make those decisions, which I know is going to be on all your minds. So any questions in any of that, I've done the research, done the homework, and now I've been in the Navy for 10 years, so I think I can speak pretty well about the Navy JAG Corps and have worked with all three of the other four of the branches, Coast Guard, Marine Corps, Army, and Air Force. I've worked with all of them. So any questions there, let me know. Give you my background since being in the Navy. When I graduated here, May of 2010, went home to New Jersey and studied for the bar, took New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And then in that Labor Day weekend, I reported up to Newport, Rhode Island, where we have officer indoctrination school. And it's basically what we like to call knife and fork school. How do you wear a uniform? How do you salute? Yes, you will stand in front of a mirror figuring out how you salute properly. Do that for 6 weeks, and then I went home for a few months waiting for bar results, passed my bars, and then in January 2001, went to Naval Justice School, also in Newport, Rhode Island. And it's 9 weeks to familiarize you with military law, which is unlike anything else in the civilian world. We have very good job security. We work with reservists who are only part-time in the military, and I've had some who are engineers in the military but are lawyers back home, and they've tried to get me to equate what things in the military mean in civilian pleadings. There is no relation. I said I have very good job security. The way we charge things in the military is very different than anything the way things are charged in the civilian world. So you go 9 weeks to learn that and get your basics. It's kind of like barbering. They throw everything on the bar at you. You absorb some of it, you don't absorb others, and then you learn most of it is OJT on the job. March of that year, went and reported to San Diego, to the Trial Service Office, which now are called Regional Legal Service Offices, where I was going to be a prosecutor. Back then, we could do 2 weeks lawyer at sea. So as soon as I got there, I was in San Diego 2 days, got on a ship for 2 weeks. And we were doing an operation called Colonel Blitz, where the Marines were simulating an attack on the beach in Camp Pendleton, California, as if they were doing an invasion in some other parts of the world. Got to experience the way the ship worked, what the Marines do, what the Navy does, then came back and started as a trial counsel. June of that year, I had my first court-martial, which was contested with members, and with the next 2 years, did five court-martials, prosecuted a man who repeatedly raped a five-year-old. Did that by myself within my second year in the Navy. He got 18 years and is still in Leavenworth. From San Diego, I left in January 2004 and moved up to Washington State, reported to the USS Abraham Lincoln, where some of this footage is coming from. We were in the yards at the time, which is very busy for a lawyer. Sailors can get in a lot of trouble, and you are about 5,000 people on a carrier, so you are basically the prosecutor for a small town, and you are doing all the military justice for them. In the military, a thing called captain's mast or NJP, office hours, so the CO has a lot of power to punish his troops, and you are doing all the paperwork, all the processing for all that, handling all the investigations. That year, we got out of yards, did our workups, and we surge deployed that October. We were just going to go to the Pacific for a few months just to show a presence of having an aircraft carrier. And then Christmas, or was it day after Christmas, a tsunami hit. We were sitting in Hong Kong. We were about to go up to Korea. And that morning, as we got underway, we all saw we were going south. Didn't even know why we were going south. Turned on the TVs, and we saw on CNN that we were going to the tsunami. We were the first ones on station right off of Bandar Aceh, Indonesia. Board a ship, life carried on as usual, just dealing with all the military justice. And the footage, some of the Hilo pilots on board, they were flying missions every single day out to the city. And then at night, we would sail out so that our jets could fly. I did bridge watch, so I was helping drive the carrier. I got to drive the carrier into the internal waters of Indonesia. Not many lawyers can say they got to do that part of the day and then turn around and continue on military justice right after that. Came home from that in March and then went up to, was going to stay there, and that July volunteered to go to Iraq and almost immediately left the ship, moved to Virginia, and left for Iraq. I spent 7 months in Iraq working at the Central Criminal Court of Iraq, helping the Iraqi judges prosecute the insurgents, which the Iraqi court system is the inquisitorial process versus our adversarial process. And our training for that was, one day you're sitting in a seat next to another attorney, you watch, next day you got it. It's a very different process, but very interesting, and you could have long debates on which is the better system. And a big thing we were doing was facilitating bringing soldiers and Marines from all parts of Iraq to testify before an investigative judge. Also, you need a diagram, and certain events had to be explained of what happened, and worked on that. One of the last things I did in Iraq, I was working on Iraqi prosecution of Shaki Omar Omed. He is an American Jordanian who was over there. That case had just gone recently to Supreme Court, I believe, last year. While I was working on it, he had several wives, and his American wife filed a habeas petition in the D.C. Circuit. D.C. Circuit granted it and put a hold on us, on the Iraqis, prosecuting him. It finally, joint with another case, went to the Supreme Court to see if our courts had the ability to stop a prosecution in Iraq, which the Supreme Court came back and said no, and they're supposedly going forward with the case now. Iraq, I left March of 06 and came to 1st Naval Construction Division where I am currently. I was only there for 4 months and then left for Bahrain where I was the only Navy Defense Counsel for the Middle East. So I was representing any sailors who got in trouble in Iraq, on board any of the ships, who got in trouble down in Djibouti. We have a large contingency of military. So we do a lot of what we call PERS reps. People call up, I'm in trouble, I need to ask some questions, and you answer their questions. But I was also defense counsel, so when somebody was actually charged, I was their lawyer, and we had several court-martials over there. Did the court-martials, did that for 1 year, came back, and I was in Virginia Beach again and went to Maritime Civil Affairs Group. But the beginning of the Navy starting civil affairs. The Army normally is the head of it, and the Navy decided to get into civil affairs and worked on rule of law. Did that for a year, and then was brought back to 1st Naval Construction Division, where I'm the only lawyer for all the Seabees worldwide, who are all the construction workers in the Navy. So I'm advising 16,000 people. The main person is the Admiral, who's in charge of all those people. We have the largest component in Afghanistan right now. We have 5 units, just under 3,000 people over there. And then we have Seabees deployed all over the world, all over Asia. We have people in South America and in Africa. And all my units spread throughout the country. So I answer questions on, you name the topic, and I'm answering the question. And that's been my background in the Navy. Any questions on any of that?
Can you talk about that was a great background, thank you. The internship program.
Pardon me?
The internship program, how you apply, when you apply, and the experiential benefits of it.
When I was coming in, the internship program was fairly small, and we've increased it a bit. All applications for whether to come and become a judge advocate or to do the internship program is all online, www.navy.jag.mil, and all the information is on there. Let's see. I know the cutoffs for being a JAG. I'm not sure of the actual cutoff for the internship program, but I believe you can do it all year up until sometime in the spring.
I think it's March 1st this year.
That sounds about right.
I think we included those links in the email we sent out today about both the internship and then becoming a JAG officer as well.
Yeah, because October 15th is the cutoff, right, the most recent, and then there'll be another board for being a JAG in March. So. Any other questions? Yes and no. They bring you in actually for that training as a reservist. So, like I said, I didn't have my bar results, so I went home. I stayed with my parents, and I was a substitute teacher for 3 months. if I had not passed the bar, I would have taken the bar again, hopefully pass, and if I didn't pass, then you can actually, you're not technically supposed to be able to get out of your commitment, but if you did repeatedly fail it, they would end up letting you out of it. Technically, they say they'd bring you in as a line officer, I believe, but you do get it several tries, and I do know JAGs who have taken more than one time to pass the bar.
How much control, if any, do you have over your deployments?
It varies. It depends on, one, what job you're in, and you have some control over your jobs. Like right now, I'm going to rotate to some job next summer. I don't know yet. And I'm a lieutenant commander, so I'm an 04. We, as an 04, we put in a list, and then the JAG Admiral actually decides where we're going to go. So what we call it a wish list. So these are five or six places I'd like to go, and then they'll decide. Well, if I put an aircraft carrier down on that, I know I'm going to deploy. They're probably not going to let me choose which aircraft carrier, so I can't say, well, I know this one just came home for deployment, so I want to go to that one. You're just going to put down a aircraft carrier, and you may deploy and you may not deploy, but by putting that down, I know most likely I'm going to deploy. A few other jobs, you put down the SEALs or something you know you're going to deploy, or, you know, I want to be a prosecutor. Okay, a prosecutor's not going to deploy most likely. So that, you have some control over what jobs you put in for. The other thing, which is a lot with Iraq and Afghanistan, we're doing what we call individual augmentees. Means your unit is not deploying, but you could deploy. And that can come out of any command you're at, but that's generally on a volunteer basis. When I went to Iraq, I volunteered and said, hey, I'm willing to go. They said, great, we need somebody, and I went. There could be a time in other parts of the Navy, you don't have a choice to say, hey, we need somebody, and they grab you. JAG Corps, that hasn't happened to us, and the wars are kind of winding down, so I don't really foresee that happening, but it is always a possibility they're going to say, hey, you got to go. When I was in Iraq, one of my friends over there was an Army person. He had gotten out, Army officer, he had gotten out, was in what we call the IIR, Individual Ready Reserve, wasn't drilling, wasn't doing anything, had no affiliation, was working for Rubbermaid, and he got a Western Union say, report here, you're going to Iraq for a year. Has not happened, as far as I know, with the Navy, and definitely has not happened with the JAG Corps.
If you were previously commissioned and, you know, you did your control or separated at the end of that, are you precluded from going back in as a JAG?
No.
Okay.
No, and that's actually seen as a beneficial thing to your application, and they will ask for some reference and things from your time in the military.
Okay, and would, if I did that, would I go back in as an 03 or an 01?
You'd come in as an 01.
Okay.
Because you're starting all over, you got out and then coming in. The only program where you would retain your rank is the law education program, which are people who are currently an officer in the Navy, and they fund you to go to law school. Then you continue gaining rank and you get paid while you're in law school. Anybody else?
What sorts of areas of law do you usually deal with? Is it mostly criminal, or is there a lot of other?
It's actually very diverse. It depends on what job you're in. And that, to me, was one of the neat things when I was looking at what did I want to do. I came straight out of college to law school. So I guess I was looking around 23. I was like, I don't know what I want to do the rest of my life. And I said, I interned at a law firm. Well, if I had gone there, I was going to do outsourcing. And I knew once I went into outsourcing, that's basically what I was going to do the rest of my life. Wasn't ready to make that decision. Gone to the prosecutor's office. I was going to be a prosecutor for how many years? Could possibly switch to a law firm, but I was going to get pigeonholed. The military, every billet is a different job. So like I said, which is criminal, defense, and prosecution. But then in my job now, I do some fiscal law advice. I do administrative law. We do how we fire people in the military. It's a very precise process, so that's a lot of time. Don't do too much construction law, but you can get some questions here and there, which is more of a fiscal law questions. Can CBs build a commissary on a base? There's a grocery store. And questions like that, which is all under federal regulations. You can get into some admiralty law. When we were on the carrier, we were in Hong Kong, don't remember the technical word, but basically the garbage barge hit the ship and broke several of the life rafts on there. So that fell into admiralty law. You can get into operational law, which deals with, like I said, we went in Indonesia, went into the internal waters of Indonesia. Well, some countries don't want us in their internal waters, or we're arguing over where is the line. So law of the sea can be very big in the Navy. Operational law also can include rules of engagement. When do our troops shoot, don't shoot, do that. All, like I said, I have 2,500 to 3,000 people in Afghanistan, so I'm going and briefing them and trying to get my young soldier to understand when it's okay for him to shoot and when it is not okay for him to shoot. We do some international law, dealing with the Hague Conventions and SOFA agreements. Different jobs in the JAG Corps, you could end up writing, helping write SOFA agreements. Again, to immigration law, ships, one of the ways to get U.S. nationality quicker is by being in the military, so we have a lot of swearing-ins, and the JAGs will get involved with that, or just answering questions, or soldiers and sailors love to marry foreign women and men, and how do they get their citizenship, and you end up advising on that. Do legal assistance. What happens when their landlord's throwing them out or not listening to the SSCRA, the Soldiers Sailors Relief Act? We're advising on that. We can, in legal assistance, write letters to companies as lawyers and try to help them. Try to think about forgetting any other areas. It's pretty diverse, and that's one of the things I thought was the most interesting was every job I'm doing something different, or the job I'm currently in, I'm practicing a whole lot of areas of law. I think most of us in the JAG Corps are general practitioners. We're doing the gamut. There is a military law litigation track, and you can apply for that, and then you are going to stay basically in criminal law and litigation, but you have to be accepted into that program. Did that answer your question?
Now, you've been in for 10 years, but if you wanted to do this more on a temporary basis, how long is the average for? And my question is, why did you choose the Navy over another?
The first commitment now, I believe, is 4 years. And then you can get out, and then you decide different points when you want to stay, when you want to get out. We do have a retention bonus that starts at around the 6-7 year point. And that, once you take that, then it obligates you to 2 more years or everything, ways that you can get additional commitments. Every time you PCS, you have to stay there for 2 years. So there's different ways where you get locked in. Right now, I took the last bonus, so if I wanted to, I could get out next fall. And so you keep having those milestones after your initial four-year commitment. Why I chose the Navy over the other branches? I think the biggest thing for me at the time, well, two things. One, I had had family members who had been enlisted in the Navy for short term, so I did have some family bias towards the Navy. And I think for me, the biggest reason was location. I grew up in New Jersey. I like being by the shore. Really did not want to get stuck in Missouri somewhere or South Dakota. And the Army and Air Force have good likelihoods of those places. So the Navy, I had a good shot of always being somewhere on the coast. We do have some bases inland, but for the most part, most of our bases are coastal. Norfolk and San Diego are our biggest bases. Norfolk is the largest naval base in the world for any military. So there are good chances. And then overseas, we have some pretty cool bases. Naples, Italy, Rota, Spain, Guam, Japan, Okinawa. So you have a lot of coastal places to be stationed, and that was a big thing for me. Practice-wise, we're fairly similar. Army and Air Force will do more contract law. Navy will not do as much. We use more OGC, Officer General Counsel, and use civilian, non-uniformed attorneys to do that. Then I'm the JAG for Seabees, but like our buildings and constructions is handled by Navy Facilities Command, and all of their lawyers are civilians. So we have a larger component of civilian attorneys than the other branches. I also like the idea of going to sea, and that's one of the big differences between all the branches. Any of this looks interesting to you, it's the Navy that you get to have that opportunity. And I can tell you, by far, my best tour of duty was on board an aircraft carrier. It is phenomenal to get to watch the jets fly. And I helped the squadrons, and eventually one of the F-18 squadrons let me go fly as a passenger. That was neat. There's no amount of money that you can go and buy an F-18 flight. Got to get a shot and a trap off of the carrier. neat. I came back to my five-year reunion, everybody else talking about the law forms, how boring their life was and everything, and I was showing pictures of my carrier, of my F-18 ride. Yeah, it's pretty exhilarating when you get the full mock gate.
Can you just talk more about the internship? I think I've gotten to know a little bit about your career, but what would the summer be like for us in terms of locations? How many other internships would you be working for? Just all the details.
It depends on where you get assigned, and I'm not quite sure. I think you get to put down selections of where you want to go. And it's going to depend on where you go, how many people are in the office, the larger office. If you're at a regional legal service office, you're going to have more people. Technically, I could take an intern in my office, and if I had an intern, I would have one person. This is pictures from Iraq. I would have one person in the office, so it depends on the size of the office. What you're going to do is going to depend on what office you're assigned. If you go to a regional legal service office, you're going to be helping some way on prosecutions. You're not going to be sitting there at the head of the court martial, but they'll have you doing research, briefings, maybe coming in on interviews with them. So it's really going to depend on which office you get assigned to. I think in the whole internship program, it's fairly small. Max, we have maybe 30, 40 a summer. Did I answer your question?
So I assume there's one in Norfolk, and you also have some overseas locations for summer internships?
I don't believe so. No. I believe it's all stateside, and they're all unpaid internships.
Is the summer internship a requirement for starting a career?
No.
Post-graduation?
No. Most people will not do an internship. I didn't do an internship, and most JAGs will not have done an internship. It's a good way to get experience. Quite frankly, I did apply, didn't get the program. If you're interested, it's not a bad thing to apply for. It would give you, definitely, if you got accepted, a taste of what it's like. And it would definitely, if you do well, it's going to help your chances of becoming a JAG, which is fairly competitive. So if you're serious and you want to do it, I would highly encourage applying for it. And it doesn't incur any kind of commitment. So if you did do it, it's like, nope, this lifestyle is really not for me. It would give you the opportunity not to apply to. Anybody else?
I mean, you talked about the 10 years that you've been in there. Did you see, I guess, for the future, what do you see? Do you have a particularly ambitious goal with regards to the service, or are you just, you know, taking the assignments as they come and seeing what you like?
The last 10 years, that's what I never had any intention of staying this long. I had always planned, started off thinking, okay, I'll do my initial commitment, get out, and just thought it was something, get me some experience, get some ideas, and figure out what I wanted to do in life. Like I said, I didn't want to get pigeonholed in something else, so I thought, hey, this is a way, grow up a little, see some things, do some things, and then decide what I want to do. But curiosity killed the cat repeatedly, and so every time an opportunity came out, I was actually just about to get out when I was on the aircraft carrier before I went to Iraq. I actually had a lease on a restaurant. Just needed a final signature and some money, and it was going to go through, and I got the opportunity to go to Iraq, which, quite frankly, has been one of the neatest opportunities in my life. And like I said, curiosity killed a cat. I'm like, this is going to be one of our biggest parts of history. If I had the opportunity to see it firsthand, I couldn't turn that down. So I took that. While I was there, I knew I was coming back to Virginia Beach where I wanted to be, and said, okay, well, that way I'll be able to look for a job. Found out about Bahrain. And curiosity, once again, was curious to go check it out. Thought being a defense lawyer would help me applicate for other jobs. Have a year thinking about U.S. attorney or something, so having some defense would help. Went over there. Once again, well, it'd be better to come back stateside. Then I got to civil affairs. I was like, oh, rule of law is fascinating. Worked with a lot of State Department people on that. It was very interesting. So just kept building from there. And now at this point, it looks like I'm going to stay in for finish out retirement. We can retire at 20 years. So debating on between what I'm making now and our benefits and really how little more I need to do to be able to get a retirement. It's a pretty good opportunity. I recently got married. My husband's over here. And at this point, it's a family decision. And it's like...
That's what I'm not sure at 30. I am. I'm a Navy wife now. I'm being a Marine to a Navy wife. Big step down, see.
But it's a family decision, and like I said, it's good money, and then I think that we'll think the travel will be neat. We'd like to go and do another overseas tour, think about Rota or Naples, and the opportunity we'd like to have children, and that's just a phenomenal opportunity for your kids to get to live overseas for a few years. And compared to other jobs, besides maybe a law firm, you're going to live pretty well overseas, but most jobs you're not living very well. We live well when we go overseas. When I lived in Bahrain, the Navy doesn't want you living in the slums or something, they want you living in a safe area. I lived in basically what I feel was like a palace. It was marble, beautiful, huge apartment, which they call flats over there. So it's a very neat experience.
Yeah, when you're doing a tour, how long does that usually last? And do you get to come back to the States during part of that, or are you there for the duration?
Well, tour billets are 2 to 3 years generally. Bahrain was a 1 year because at that time we were not allowing people to bring their family with them. Now they are allowing families in Bahrain, so everybody was just military over there, so it was 1 year tour. Some people extended longer, but for the most part it was 1 year. But most of our assignments are 2 to 3 years. If, like I said, we went to Rota or Naples, they would be 3 year assignments. And it's like any other job. We have 30 days of vacation a year, and you want to come home on your vacation, great. You want to go travel Europe with your vacation, you can do that too. So it's up to you what you want to do at that point. When I was in Bahrain for the year, I had no desire to come back to the States. There was so much to see and do over there. My mom came to visit for a month. We went to Oman and Dubai. Highly, highly recommend seeing Dubai if you ever have the opportunity. So, but I did end up coming back for an unfortunate incident that happened back here. But it's totally flexible for the most part. You go, if you're doing a deployment like Iraq or Afghanistan, there are 6 months to 1 year jobs for the most part. Depending on how long you're there, depends if, how much leave you get. For a 6 month deployment, you get a 4 day R&R somewhere in theater. For 1 year, they let you come back for 2 weeks. You go on a deployment on a carrier. They range from anywhere from basically 4 months to 9 months. Most likely you're not gonna come back unless there's an emergency. Anything else?
And just to clarify, that's your post-deployment leave is in addition to the leave that you would accrue, correct? So if you're there for a year, it's really you really get 6 weeks, 2 weeks post-deployment, and then your 4 weeks of leave accrued.
Don't know if the Navy's changed any policies. When I did it, no. It was just our 30 days, but you're accumulating 2.5 days of leave every month. So if you didn't take it all year, you have an extra 30 days, so it's easy to bank up a lot of leave. Other branches, I know the Air Force does give you post-deployment leave, and as far as I know, the Navy has not changed that policy. But like I said, when you are deployed, you tend to rack up a lot of time off because you're not taking the time off. So with the war, we're allowed to build up to 65 days of leave, I believe, on the books, plus you're accumulating time all the time. The only one I took was National Security Law, John Norton Moore, and that is a good primer. Everything you go over in that class is something you will deal with in the military, so that's helpful. I didn't take any of the Law of the Sea classes, but that would, if you wanted to come in the Navy, would be useful.
There's some classes at Jack School that they can take as well.
Yeah, I didn't take any of them. We had that opportunity too at the time. I didn't do that. That definitely would be helpful. Any of your general litigation classes, trial advocacy, basically trials pretty much the same regardless if you're doing DA's office, federal, military. You know, there's different rules of procedure, but for the most part, argument is an argument is an argument. appellate courts too, which are going to be the same as any other appellate courts, and you have the opportunity, not your first tour, but right after that, of going to one of our appellate courts, working either as appellate defense, appellate government, or working as a judge, or working with the judges, so all those opportunities also.
Does the Navy offer any kind of assistance with loans once you become a JAG officer?
not the Navy per se, but there are the different federal loan programs which do repayment, recoup for being in law enforcement, which most of us in the GI Corps can qualify for that. There's different military qualifications. So that is one thing I did make a mistake since I got out, which I would strongly advise anybody if you end up doing it. You want to keep as much as you can federal. Do not consolidate loans. I consolidated not realizing my consolidation was going to pull in my federal loan. So my one loan that was getting repaid because I was in the military consolidated into a civilian loan. That will not get repaid. You want to keep as much federal as you humanly can. So if you know you're coming in, whatever federal loans you can get, keep them federal. And that can get repaid. I believe it's like $1,000 a year that gets canceled off of it. There's also, like I said, we do get a retention bonus at the 6 or 7 year program, which ends up going up to, I think it's a total of $60,000. First chunk is $30,000, and then there's two installments of $15,000 over time. So I'm just coming up for my last installment, $15,000, which will obligate me for two more years next year. And at that point, yes, I will stay in for the 20.